God was doing what I've been hearing, I began to cry out for God. God, I'm really hungry, God. I want to see what these great men and women of God saw in the past. I want to see the dead raised. I want to see the lame walk the blind. See the deaf hear, God. And I began to get hungry. I began to say, Lord, baptize me with fire. And I used to go to this video bus up at Mount Gravatt, and I'd go and borrow every video I could get on healing and testimonies about great things God had done. I wanted to feed on this stuff. I went into this bus one day to go and get a video, and the guy prayed for me. And I started laughing. And I laughed, and I laughed, and I laughed all the way home, and I shook, and I hadn't stopped. And you know, I don't understand it, but I don't care. Because ever since that time, I have grown and I have grown and I have grown, and I've become less and less concerned with what anybody thinks of me, because He has become bigger and bigger and bigger and so much more important to me.
Amen.
So be encouraged. If you're a little nervous, the Holy Spirit says in the Word of God, if you ask Him for bread, He's not going to give you a stone. If you ask Him for fish, if you ask Him for something good, He's not going to give you a demon. He's not going to give you a snake. He gives good gifts. Hey. See, God likes to be glorified, not in persuasive words of men's wisdom and demonstrations of His power. Hallelujah. So I've been praying. If you're here, and you're coming here, watch out. I am praying for all of you that God will saturate you with His glory. That you will become so overwhelmed that you don't care what anybody thinks. That you will become absolutely divinely obsessed with your Heavenly Father. Divine obsession. And you know the world will see the fruit.
Yep.
It's not about manifestation, it's about the fruit. Look at the fruit. You'll see fruit come forth from your life, because you can't help but when you receive the Spirit of God to have the fruit of the Spirit manifested in your life. Hallelujah. Okay, I preached. You got your Bibles?
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Oh, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore.
Sure, we'll cover up on that. Let's do that again.
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore.
Hallelujah. Tell you what, there is some very exciting things coming in the Spirit of God. It is a very exciting thing for this nation of Australia. Hallelujah. God has put His eye upon us. Hallelujah. He loves us. We are the apple of His eye. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Because I could never be righteous by the law. No man could. No woman could. And the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, which is, I'm with them, I don't like them, that's dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against us there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's a heavy word, but you know what? You've come out tonight because you're serious with wanting more of God.
Yeah.
More of God means less of you.
Yeah.
You can't hold on to these sins, the Bible says, and inherit the kingdom of God. It's very clear. But it's a bit scary when you look at it. It says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. It's putting anything above doing the will of God. I remember, I've told this story before, but I remember once just going to pick up my children. They'd been staying the night at their grandparents, and I got in the car, driving over. The Lord said, turn around, go home and pray. And I said, oh, yeah, okay, Lord, I'll just go and get the kids. And he spoke to me as clear as could be. He said, anything you put above doing what I ask you to do is idolatry.
Yeah,
I went, I'm just getting the kids. And so I turned the car around and I went home and got on the floor, put a music CD on, put a worship song on. It took me a couple of songs to get my attitude right. And then the Lord spoke to me and says, I want you to go and pray for this lady. So I rang up this person and there was no answer. So I got in the car and I went round to her house. She wasn't there. An ambulance had just taken her to the hospital.
Yeah.
And so I went to the hospital. Happily, I had no children with me, so I could go into the emergency ward. Our God is more organized than we are.
Yeah.
He's smarter than me. When I got there, she burst into tears and she said, I was praying someone would come. And I went, oh God, I'm so sorry. How many of these opportunities have I missed? Because of idolatry. Saying, I'm God, I'm the boss, I'll do whatever I like. I'll just add God into my life. But when I want to do what I want to do, I want to do what I want to do. God says you cannot continue to live like that. You cannot live in idolatry. Choose this day who you'll serve. You could probably all walk out now if you wanted to, but I'm telling you the truth. Because if I don't tell you the truth, there's no point in us being here. Our God is so merciful. He's so kind. He forgives us when we sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness immediately. But if we persist in willfully just doing our own thing, going our own way, then we are living in idolatry. Is that true?
Amen.
Can you help me here?
Yeah.
Sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, selfish ambitions. Selfishness, it says in other translations. I've been selfish, but I've had to when the Holy Spirit convicted me, I've had to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I want to turn from that. I don't want to live a selfish life. This is what the Spirit of God wants to say to you. You need to be willing and supple.
Yeah.
When the Holy Spirit moves on your life,
Say,
yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done.
Yes,
yes Lord, I repent.
Yes.
Repent is turn from your sin.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
It's like healing. You can't receive healing and keep sickness.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. I have healing and I have sickness. You can't have two. You either have healing for your sickness or you don't have healing.
Yes.
You either have grace for your sin or you don't have grace.
Yeah.
The grace of God is poured out upon you, but you will not receive it unless you have something to receive it in exchange for. God is there. Forgiveness is right here. But unless you go, yeah, I need that forgiveness for this sin, you can't receive it.
Jesus.
And you receive that by grace, through faith, through believing,
though
this sin is ugly and terrible, God, I thank you as I give it to you right now, I can immediately receive your grace.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Are you scared? Don't be scared of me. This is the Bible. So set you free.
Amen.
You see, God wants to make more room in your life for Himself.
Yes.
I read a beautiful hymn. I was just going through my head today. I dug up the words again of a very old hymn. It says, "Oh, the bitter shame and sorrow that a time could ever be when I let the Saviour's pity plead in vain, and proudly answered, 'All of self, none of thee.' Yet he found me. I beheld him bleeding on the accursed tree. Heard him pray, 'Forgive him, Father.' And my wistful heart said faintly, 'Some of self and some of thee.' Day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, sweet and strong, and oh, so patient, brought me lower, while I lifted less of self, more of thee. Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered. Grant me now my soul's desire, none of self, and all of thee." You know, that's how the Lord has led me. It's been a struggle. He struggled and struggled with my flesh patiently, because he knows the only way I will ever truly be happy is when there's none of self and all of him. Because I am called and I am destined, I am made to be overflowing with God himself. I'm called and destined as Christ is. So am I in this world, so are you. You're called to be doing greater works than these, than even he did. But you can't do that when there's some of self and some of him. That beautiful scripture that Alan shared in Ephesians 3 is one that we're praying as leaders constantly for you people and for ourselves. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, you can turn there with me if you would. I prayed this every day solid for 3 months. And I still keep going as the Lord prompts me, but it changed my life forever. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." All the fullness of God can only come when there's none of self and all of thee. That is the place that he wants to do. He wants to have all the fullness of God living in us. And it's not a works mentality, because I couldn't do it if I tried. It's simply going low. Like it says in this psalm, his tender mercy brought me lower. His love just brings me lower and lower. The kindness of God causes me to just go lower, lower. I go, "God, this is amazing what you're doing." And he continues to heap his love upon my life. And it just makes me want to go lower and lower. And when I mean lower, what I'm saying is it humbles my heart to see this incredible, undeserved grace, the magnificence of God displayed on my behalf, his mercy. Hallelujah. He teaches us to trust him. And as we learn to trust him and as we learn to love him, we just say, "God, all I want is more of you."
Yeah.
All I want, that song that we sang tonight, "All I want is more of you." That's where you're heading if you're not there already. And God, the Spirit of God, wants to draw that in you. He wants to draw you closer to himself, to the place where you're willing to let go of everything. I see now God has brought me, and I've had some of self and some of him. But he's bringing me to the place now where I want my days, my nights, I want everything I do and say, I just want to continually live in this intoxicating presence.
Yeah, amen.
I don't want anything else, I only want him. And that alone is enough to make me go, "Wow, you're so wonderful, God, I want more of you."
Yeah. Yeah.
Look what you've done in this hard woman's heart.
Yeah.
You've softened me. You've changed me.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Oh, how amazing is our God.
Yeah.
How amazing is our God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. I've been getting absolutely soaked in the prayer meetings this week. I was trying to stay away from the prayer meeting this morning because I was thinking if I do, I'll speak and use my voice. And I was trying to conserve my voice, but I couldn't stay away. I was too beautiful. And I just keep... I live in the presence of God, and that's what He wants for you. Matthew chapter 5, I want more, God. This Matthew 5, 6 and 7, this entire three chapters is a scripted version of Jesus Christ Himself giving a sermon. Three whole chapters, uninterrupted message. Sermon. Oh, that's good. That is really good. You want to hear a good message? He preaches just uninterrupted three chapters. The Sermon on the Mount. Hallelujah. But skip with me over to chapter 7. I want to show you something here. This is toward the end of his sermon. Good sermon, you should read it. Very good. It feeds you forever. Hallelujah. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit you'll know them.
Yeah.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Yep.
Amen.
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Glory to God.
You know, sometimes we take that previous little passage out of context. Listen to what the scripture is saying. He's saying that many will say, Lord, Lord. But he's saying the difference here is those not who have good intention or who know all about me, but the difference is those who do what I say.
Yeah.
Therefore, he says here in verse 24, so that's a continuation of what he's just said. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock.
Yeah.
But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
Yeah. Amen.
That's how he ended his sermon.
Jesus.
You know, good intentions are not enough.
Yeah.
Good intentions can actually bring you into self-deception.
Yeah.
I want to do the right thing. I want it. But you could just be building a big house on the sand if you're not actually doing what the Holy Ghost has told you to do. If you're not actually doing what the Scripture tells you to do. If you're not actually listening and obeying. If you're not doing what He says, I'm not claiming to be a rocket scientist, but this seems pretty clear to me. If you don't do what he says, then you're not a follower of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're building a house on the sand.
Yeah.
But sadly, when the trials and the winds come, it'll just come crashing down.
Yeah.
It could look elaborate, it could look wonderful. You could know all the right things, all the right scriptures, you could say it all, have it all, even be seemingly living outwardly, but if you are not truly doing what he says, if instead you're holding on to resentment,
yeah,
willfully hating somebody,
Jesus,
willfully resenting something,
Jesus,
or if you're being jealous, or if you're any of those things that they listed in Galatians chapter 5, you could say and do everything, you could dance, you could fall, you could drop could shake it. But unless you are doing what he says, it's all just a big show. But I tell you what, your people, if God has opened up your hearts and he's drawing you to himself, and the spirit of repentance is what makes room for his grace. I love being able to come to God and repent. I love it because it sets me free. There is nothing like having a clean conscience. It's so beautiful. It is so wonderful to have a clean conscience. You know, for years I didn't really have a clean conscience. There's that nagging condemnation. Clean conscience comes when you have faith that he forgives you, and when you don't hold on any longer to what you know you shouldn't be holding on to. You can try as hard as you can to repent and say the things, but if you continue in the sin, you truly haven't repented.
Yeah.
And you will live frustrated and condemned.
Yeah.
And I can't do anything about that condemnation because you brought bring that on yourself. You've got to let go of the things of the flesh, the works of the flesh. People, we are living and walking now into the days of revival.
Yes, amen.
The fire of God has come upon our lives.
Yeah.
And it is revealing that which is wood, hay, and stubble, and that which is gold.
Yes.
He's revealing that to me.
Amen.
And it's so good.
Yes.
When I see it, I go, thank you, Jesus, and there's more of him to fill me. Allow the fire of God to reveal in your life what is wood, hay, and stubble.
Yeah.
I've had to give up TV programs and TV things, and it seems like it's nothing compared to what others have given up. But my life, it's not my own. It's bought with a price. Why would I want to fill up on garbage when I could be filling up on him? God's been calling me out of bed sometimes over the last little while, and when everybody's asleep and I have absolute privacy. Mothers understand what I mean. Not an easy thing to get sometimes. When everyone's asleep and he's just there. And we communicate. I live for that. And the more you taste of that, the more you'll want. And the more you receive, it's like, it's so strange. The more you eat of God, the more hungry you get.
Amen.
It really is different to our ways, isn't it?
Glorious.
The more we eat, normally we get satisfied. The more I eat of God, the hungrier for him I become.
Amen.
And I tell you what, the more you eat of God, the more his fire comes and reveals that which is wood, hay, and stubble.
Yes.
And then you're faced with a choice. But really, what sort of choice is it? Continue a life of frustration and this constant, or just let go and go, yes, God, not my way, but yours. I've come to the place where I realize I can trust him absolutely.
Yeah.
That his ways are for my good.
Yeah.
The plans he has for me are to prosper and not to harm. He plans to give me hope in the future. And his ways make me always make me happier.
Amen.
I could never be happy as happy doing what I want to do. I could never be as fruitful doing what I want to do. Compared to him, my wisdom is like bleh, nothing. He's so wise. He knows everything. He adores me. I am his daughter. And he has plans for me. I need to know what those plans are. I need to walk in those plans, because if I don't, I live in a life of frustration. Jesus said, to do the will of my Father is my bread.
Yep.
Feeds me. God wants to feed you.
Yep.
God wants to use you. He wants to cause you to shine. Filled with all the fullness of God.
Jesus.
Then you can say, such as I have, give I thee. No weapon formed against me prospers. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, not because of my righteousness, but because of him.
Yeah.
He's conquered me.
Hallelujah.
He's conquered me.
Hallelujah.
Your love has conquered me. Thy love at last has conquered. Grant me now my soul's desire, none, self, and all of thee.
Yeah.
I pray that God, you'll allow the Spirit of God to do that in your life. Let me tell you, He's asked me to do things and give up things. It's like now it's just easy.
Yeah.
Who wants that stuff when I can have this? Our grace, the grace of our God is so wonderful. Exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. God wants to use us to arise, to shine, to go forth, to do the majesty, the work of the majesty, the work of the kingdom, to demonstrate His glory. It's wonderful. We're going to see so many more healings and salvation, deliverances.
Yeah.
People, saints, getting up and doing the work of the ministry everywhere they go. Nothing is too difficult for them because they know it's no longer we that live, but Christ who lives in us. And the life we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Hallelujah. Let's pray.